You're listening to Midday on WNYC. I'm Kai Wright. Food is about a lot more than nutrients and tastes. We use it to mark occasions and as an excuse to come together. And as a result, many of us carry powerful emotional memories of particular foods and recipes. For our next guests, that is the story of cake, which is also the title of their new book published by Penguin Press. It's part recipe book and part philosophy book. Myra Kallman is an author, illustrator, and designer. She has illustrated and written many acclaimed children's and adults books, including Fireboat and The Principles of Uncertainty. She's also a frequent contributor to The New Yorker, and her work is shown at the Julie Saul Gallery in Manhattan. Barbara Scott Goodman is an author, food writer, and designer as well. She has written 17 cookbooks, including The Beach House Cookbook and Brooklyn Bar Bites. Myra and Barbara, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. Hi.
It's such a gorgeous little book that is filled with, Myra, with your illustrations, these beautiful pastel, I think they're watercolors, they seem
they're
like.
They're gouache, if you want to be specific.
Okay, well, they're gorgeous. I'll get you to tell me about gouache here in a minute. But, you know, the illustrations really tell a story. They all tell stories. And the book opens with your own family story of chocolate cake. Can you recount that for us?
Well, you know, Barbara and I were working on the book, I would ask people, what is the first cake they remember? And that is clearly a strong memory. There's something usually wonderful connected with it. Usually don't carry a sad memory of your first cake. So this was on my aunt's terrace in Tel Aviv in the summer when all the children had been to the beach. And then we came to the terrace and my aunt served us her amazing chocolate cake that we just took without saying thank you, because, as I say, isn't that how it is? You just take what you get when you're a child. And to me, that represented everything. There was family and fun and light and air and new sustenance, and it was a good thing. All of the things.
And how did you guys come up with this idea, Barbara, this pairing? Can you tell the story of how you guys met, came up with this?
Well, Myra and I have known each other for a very, very long time. And I'd always wanted to work with her on a cookbook. And I was thinking about what kind of book I wanted to do. And I've always wanted to do a cake book. And I was thinking of more like, what's the collection of cakes that people want? I don't want to do like the Bible about baking cake, because that's not what I do. But I just wanted to have a great collection of cakes. And I thought I would really love to have Myra illustrate this. And I asked her and she said yes.
It's such a good idea, the pairing of these two media, you know, the pairing of the topic of cakes with this sort of evocative set of visuals. It really is the perfect food for this.
Well, yeah, the book goes way beyond picture recipe. There's always, you know, there's so much more to it. And cake is certainly full of memories and emotion, and it just strikes a chord with everyone. Yeah. So I thought, you know, this really did it justice.
And you said you wanted to pick pare down to some classic cake recipes, right?
Yeah, not all classics. I mean, here's where the difficult part of the book was, and this is the only difficult part, was going back and forth with a list. Myra and I had lists. We emailed back and forth, like, what about this cake? No, no, no. And I go, yes, yeah, how about this cake? So how many emails?
Many, many hundreds. And that sense of we really wanted to have the cakes that somehow resonate as the most essential cakes, the cakes that Barbara can talk about that people can make without that much difficulty, even if you're not an experienced baker.
Right. Do talk about that, Barbara, because I find it terribly intimidating, the idea of making a cake. You know, a pie is one thing, but a cake, you know?
Well, pie can be pretty intimidating, too. It's not that intimidating. You have to be fairly organized, and you have to give yourself a little time. And I think those are the two essential. And if you have flour and butter and eggs, you're good. But I also didn't want all of these cakes to be showstoppers and have all that pressure, like, oh, I'm going to make a big, gorgeous layer cake. That's why there are recipes for a gingerbread cake and a little pound cake, and just things you could pretty much put together in an hour or so.
Which one would you start with if you were saying, okay, listen, Kai, you're scared, but we want you to bake from this book. Here's the first one you should do.
I would say the very easiest one is the olive oil cake. There's no mix. There's mixing, but you don't need a hand mixer you don't need any equipment for it. It's just a pan. It's a pan.
But if you do have some equipment, I would say the lemon pound cake. Because to say those words, lemon pound cake, everything seems to be okay with the world, especially now. I say it as often as I possibly can.
Well, on that score, I mean, Myra, yours are sort of illustrated recipes, as it were. You know, you have one that is called A Cake of Being Kind, Not Angry. Can you tell us the story of that cake?
That's about my grandma. You know, that's about unconditional love. And I think that if every cake represented unconditional love, we'd all be in good shape, or we'd have to walk a lot, but we'd be in good shape emotionally. And so this was a story about how my grandmother took my cousins to the circus. She broke the heel of her shoe, and when she had to run for the bus, all they could think about was how hilarious her plight was. And that was the only thing they remembered from the circus, was that my grandmother broke her heel. But then they got home and she made them a cake and wasn't angry at them. And I think those moments of incredible kindness, unwarranted kindness, and especially in the sense of I'm going to bake you something, that it's very touching. It reminds you it's nice to be kind.
Yeah. And that food can bring us together for that. Another one that I kind of like that I want to prompt you to talk about is the broken heart cake.
Don't we all have a broken heart cake? The same aunt who was the wonderful woman who on the terrace in Tel Aviv was visiting us when we were in New York, and I had just been dumped by, should I say his name?
Michael Goldenthal.
Everybody, I can't stress it enough how horrible it was to be dumped. Poor Michael. He hasn't gotten in touch yet. But at any rate, it was one of those moments of deep, deep teenage angst and despair. And my aunt was there saying, I want to bake you a cake to make you happier. And I thought, how absurd that a cake would make you happy. But of course, you know, there was a lot of love around that. So I never heard from him, but I did have the cake.
Michael missed out on the cake. How'd you come up with the idea of this, of these sort of pairing of these stories of a cake?
Well, as
you pepper them throughout the story of cooking.
We really worked instinctually, and just the sense of what makes sense, what memories do you have. There wasn't any idea other than just to tell the stories as they came emotionally. And
Yeah, and the thing is, Myra and I both come from the world of books. So we actually, we're working with a dummy book. And pasting pictures and pasting things and pasting recipes and doing it not on some work on the computer, but pretty much just deciding how this book was going to flow and where this goes and where this recipe should go, where this picture should go. And it really worked very beautifully. But it was really more hands-on than, you know, discussing ideas and recipes over the phone or emailing. It was a lot of sitting down together and making it, you know, looking at it, holding it in our hand and looking at it.
Craft.
And because we both really love doing books.
Yeah. Myra, you earlier mentioned that the illustrations are, I called them watercolor. You said they're gouache?
Well, it was gauche of you to say that
they were gouache. It's gauche of you to say that they're gouache.
They're gouache, which is really a thick, it's a chalk-based watercolor. So it's something that's wonderful to work with on paper with brush.
And how did you come up with these? How did you create these visual ideas? I mean, were you pulling from specific memories? Were you pulling from photos?
I have a free-ranging brain that collects memories, collects moments during the day. I photograph people eating, people talking all the time. And so I have a million books with photographs. So there was really a range of imagery that just whatever I loved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Barbara, you're giving sort of tips here on how to make the cakes perfect, how to be people like me who are intimidated by it.
Right.
What are some of the essentials here?
As I said, you need to have enough time, because it's not the sort of thing where, and I think we've all done this, you're baking a cake and you go, oh, I have an appointment, I have to go now. 2 hours later, you go, what's that smell? So it's, you have to give yourself time. You have to get all your ingredients together. Ingredients should be at room temperature. And you got to think about that.
Like eggs, for instance?
Yeah, eggs. Everything, butter, everything works much better. So
if it's at room, if you've taken it out in advance, let it sit, bring it up to temperature.
Yep. And you know, read all the ingredients first to make sure you have everything. And I just find it's just a sense of organization. And have the stuff. You got to have the pans.
Be prepared.
Yeah, be prepared. And the more prepared you are, you're just better off.
Right. And then you should be listening to Bach or Handel, if ideally one of those two. And then there's nothing wrong with the world.
Because it's all at peace.
Right.
I referred to it as a gorgeous little book, and that is actually quite relevant. Myra, I know I've seen you write, I believe it was in The Cut, you said that you're always trying to combine writing and art to say as much as you can with as few words as you can. What is it about the economy of words that makes a message so powerful for you?
Well, I'm lucky that I can paint and write. And so when I don't have the words, I can do the paintings. And often I don't have the words. So it really is a necessity. But I think that working for children and working for children in children's books, that sense of you really have to edit down what you want to say and say it as quickly as possible. I don't like to be bored. Mm. I don't want to bore other people. So why go on when you can say it? When you can say it in fewer words.
It sounds like you feel similarly about cookbooks, Barbara. You said earlier that you didn't want to write the Bible of cookbooks or the Bible of cake books.
No, there are other people who do that really, really well. And I do like to just look at a recipe, and if I see a ton of ingredients, I go, oh man, I don't know if I'm going to do this. And so I did try to make it very tight and succinct so someone wouldn't be intimidated and say, oh, I don't think I can make that at all. Mm-hmm. But it's not that hard.
You can make all of them.
Yes, mm-hmm. You can.
Hi.
All of them?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I might pack on some weight, but it'll be worth it. The other thing is, I think it's quite interesting about both of you. I mean, you've covered a lot of ground in your careers. You take on a lot of different kinds of projects. How do you decide to what to work on next? What leads you?
Your instinct and your love of doing so. At this point in life, it's really important to love what you're doing. Otherwise, you're in deep trouble.
Yeah.
Are children better to write for than adults?
Children are better in every way than adults. So, I love both. I think it's great to go different directions. I'm not a different person when I write for children and adults. I just think that the voice is the same, but sometimes the subject matter is a little bit different. But no, I like it all.
Yeah. And you've got Myra, you have a column in The New Yorker, and you're I think working on a series of columns that are going to be about visits to museums and galleries, right?
But hopefully we'll continue with more.
Can you quickly just describe for folks what that project's about?
There is a wonderful page in The New Yorker called the Artist Sketchbook, and it really has whatever it is that's of interest to a person, an artist or an illustrator. So there's some text and a painting of, let's say, a monastery, like a monk in a monastery, mm-hmm. or a pasta-making machine. So mm-hmm. it's really things that have struck my fancy.
Right. And Barbara, at 17 cookbooks, you said you felt like that, you wanted to do a book on cake. What haven't you done? What's
there's a lot of books I haven't done. I'd love to do more. I'm just really interested in food and the whole scene and the whole science of cooking. And I also have started doing videos, cooking videos, which I think is really interesting. And I'm starting to watch a lot of cooking videos. Not that that's going to pull me away from books, but it's just another part of it that I think is really interesting. And I think it sort of works with the writing and the art direction, all the other parts teaching people how to cook.
Right.
Videos are fun.
But do you think there's a cuisine or a type of cooking that's missing from the conversation? I heard we're doing a lot of conversations about cooking this week, and I'm really enjoying it. And I'm wondering, what do you think deserves another deep dive?
I feel like people have kind of gone off the rails a little bit.
Time.
Yeah, I think there's still a lot to be taught about very basic good cooking.
Like pies.
And pies.
Like pies, for instance, perhaps.
Yeah, there are pies in our future, maybe.
I would certainly hope so. I have been talking with Myra Coleman and Barbara Scott Goodman about their new book, Cake, which is a lovely, lovely collection of both illustrations and recipes that can help us find our way in a chaotic world, right? I think, Myra?
I think that's true.
Thanks to both of you for joining the show.
Thank you very much.